T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Late Night.
This is Late Night.
On Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy. Late Night. On Sports Radio WEEI.
Alex, I know you guys were sort of coy about it when asked before Game 3, but given that in your clubhouse you're playing New York, New York during the celebration, did that resonate with you maybe more than you guys let on after Game 2,
Not with me, but I know they talk about it. When Dustin brought it up, I was like, well, they know it happened. I don't know if they took it personal. It's just, I don't know, probably if we played dirty water at Yankee Stadium and they would have clinched in Fenway. Well, they probably played dirty water in their clubhouse. So, I don't know, man. The kid, he's a great kid. He's a good player. One of the best in the game. He's one of those guys that can become the face of baseball. And, you know, from afar, I really enjoy watching him play, not when he's playing against us. So, he's good for baseball. You know, nothing personal with him.
That was a good move last night. It was cool. It just added to the celebration. You know, playing New York, New York, it really was fun to watch. And again, being on the road last night for the day job, watching all this go down in a bar in Baltimore, it was a cool moment because you wanted to stick it back to the Yankees a little bit. You did. I mean, Aaron Judge comes into Boston, and again, it's gamesmanship. I like what Aaron Judge did. I do. I like what the Red Sox did, how they responded. And I feel like stuff like that has been missing in Major League Baseball. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with some gamesmanship. It adds to the entertainment value. It's one of the reasons why, in my opinion, the NBA has been so successful over the last 10 or 15 years. There's a ton of gamesmanship, and people like that stuff. They absolutely do. It adds to the entertainment value for the casual fan. And for the Red Sox, that meant something. It did. And I don't know if that was, you know, Cora's decision or if Dustin Pedroia had something to do with that. There were rumors last night that was his contribution. I don't know. Whoever decided to play that in the Red Sox clubhouse following the game, bravo. That was very, very, very well done. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is our number 2 of Late Night here. As always, the number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Spent a lot of time in that first hour sort of talking about David Price. It was announced today by Alex Cora that David Price will get the ball, will get the start coming up in Game 2 of the ALCS. And it's interesting that that's going to happen here, right? Because there was a lot of talk about potentially moving David Price to the bullpen, possibly, you know, pushing his start back to a Game 3, Game 4 out on the road in Houston because it's a controlled atmosphere. And when you take a look at the upcoming weather reports for this weekend in Boston, it's going to be, you know, crisp, chilly, wet fall New England weather. And for a guy, and if you don't, maybe you've got the cut back there from earlier the season, but David Price went through a litany of things that he struggles with when it comes to weather and the environment in which he pitches. He talked about, you know, struggling to pitch in the cold. Don't forget, you know, his fingers and toes. He said that his circulation doesn't work all that well. Has a hard time with the extremities when it's cold out. Talked about his allergies and fresh cut grass and all of these things that get in the way of David Price performing and performing at his peak potential. That's not me, you know, taking a dump on David Price. That's just me repeating the things that David Price has told us, told you, right? So why, if you've got an opportunity to pitch him in a controlled environment, then why is the right move to pitch him in an uncontrolled environment at Fenway Park where the fans are going to be the fans? Let's face it here. I feel like the fans are going to be very positive when it comes to David Price when he first takes the mound. But at the first sign of trouble, they're going to get all over him, and with good reason. So I feel like you actually relieve some of the pressure by pitching him, starting him on the road. Plus, you have the benefit of a controlled environment for him to pitch in. But that's Alex Cora's decision, and Alex Cora has been nearly perfect in this postseason when it comes to the buttons that he's pushed. You know, so who am I to really question the decision that he's made here? Every single button that he's pushed has worked, and it's resulted in wins. There are tangible things that we can find, tangible evidence that we can look at, where Alex Cora makes a move, pushes a button, and that results in a Red Sox victory, or it results in something positive that ultimately leads to a Red Sox postseason victory. So I'm not going to question him all that much here, but if it were me, and I think we all should be happy that it's not me, but if it were me, it would make more sense on paper to start David Price if he's going to get a start, to start him on the road. Start him in that controlled environment in Houston. Start him in a place where, let's face it, you know, the pressure isn't quite as high as it would be here at Fenway Park. The other side of the equation that we've talked about a lot here is Craig Kimbrel. And, you know, he's going into free agency after this season. Last year, he was dominant. No question about it, by far. The best closer in baseball last season. This season started off that way. The back half of the season, not so much. He's been up and down, which is, you know, a little alarming when you look at who he is, his talent level, and the fact that he can still throw gas the way he always could. There's just something missing there, whether it's confidence, whether there's something, you know, a tweak in the arm, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, I'm not sure. But if you guys are convinced that Craig Kimbrel is the same guy that he was last year, or if you guys are convinced that he's the same guy that he was the first half of the season, I would love to know how you got there. Because watching what happened last night, that's troubling. And what's even more troubling is my opinion here, and again, just my opinion. My opinion is if that same meltdown, if that same implosion took place against the Astros are winning that game. The Yankees let the Red Sox off the hook last night. So it is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. Room for you at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we'll go. Let's go to Derek. Derek's in Springfield. Derek, you're next up here on WEI.
How you doing?
What's up, Derek?
Patrick, thanks for taking my call. You hit on a lot of points I have to agree with about Price as far as you earlier, the sports psychologist. And I just think that I was at the game in 2013 when Price pitched. I just think that ever since he got the money, it's all mental to him now. It's affected him so much. So he definitely needs to see some type of sports psychologist because it's almost like he's got the yips whenever he's in Fenway. So I think I agree he should start away from home, not even because it's controlled, just because you know, it's not at Fenway. I think he definitely would benefit from that. And Kimbrel, I think I agree, he's definitely not the same pitcher he was last year or the first half this year. I think if they can just get him in his comfort zone and just leave him and say, hey, you're only going to do three outs, that's it. I think that would benefit us.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, but again, it is the postseason, and, you know, guys have to be ready to change their roles up a little bit. You saw Rick Porcello come out of the bullpen. You saw Chris Sale come out of the bullpen. So it's all hands on deck, especially now when you're playing a team as talented as the Houston Astros are. My only worry here when it comes to Kimbrel, or Price for that matter, hell, for anybody for that matter, is when you make a mistake against a team like the Yankees. Yeah, they're very, very good, but they're a flawed baseball team, where Houston really doesn't have a lot of flaws. They will make you pay for those mistakes, where the Yankees let the Red Sox off the hook more than once.
100% agree with you on that. Houston would have taken that game if Kimbrel gave up one home run. That wouldn't have been the only one they hit off him, and he would have blown that game. I think he would have still been all right to bounce back. I think he's been in the bigs long enough in that role that he'll be okay. I think he will blow up one game against Houston as well, and I feel he'll be able to bounce back when we need him after that. It's getting to him, and I wish, I know somebody, one of the hosts earlier said, Sale and Price back-to-back, it's like, why not just throw a righty in there? And this was, you know, in August when everything was kind of up in the air with Sale still, but they were like, well, I don't think they should do that. I would love to see him go Sale, Eovaldi, and then Price out of the bullpen if you need him again, if you get that far.
Yeah, listen, Derek, man, all good points. I appreciate the phone call. So, you know, at this point here, Alex Cora has made his call. He's made his decision. It's going to be Price in game two. I don't necessarily love the decision. I understand why they're doing it. And a lot of it has to go back to the point that I made to start the show and the point that I've made here for months now on Late Night and on Red Sox Review. It's that this Red Sox team is going to ultimately achieve their goals of making it to a World Series and then hopefully winning the World Series. They've got to get positive production from David Price. They do. You can't hide the guy. He makes too much money. He's too talented. And the talent that is remaining in Major League Baseball, be it the Astros, the Dodgers, the Brewers, these are very talented teams. And what should be an unfair advantage for the Red Sox, having David Price as your number two, has become an unfair advantage for the opposition. And the Red Sox have to find a way, David Price has got to find a way to sort of flip that story on its head. You know, they have to, he has to, for this Red Sox team to be able to overcome and win, you know, this ALCS and put themselves in a position to at least compete to win a World Series. I don't see how they do it. I don't see how they get there and put themselves in a position to potentially win a World Series not using David Price, not getting David Price to give you some positive contributions. So I get it. And Alex Cora is a player's manager, and this is his way, I think, of exuding faith in David Price and sort of giving him a boost of self-confidence. I bet that there's some concern when it comes to Cora and David Price that if he decided to move Price down in the order, that might psychologically mess with Price even more. And he's already so off the rails psychologically. We don't know how David Price would have responded to that sort of change and what he might perceive as that sort of demotion. So it is Sports Radio WEI. Let's grab one more before the break. Let's go to Steve. Steve's in Miami. Steve, you're next up here on WEI.
How you doing, my friend?
What's up, Steve?
Well, actually, a couple of things. First of all, I just love the idea that they beat the Yanks and they killed them in Yankee Stadium. I love
awesome.
That. That was great. Awesome. And to have them have the worst loss in their amazing playoff run in all those years, because all I hear from my colleagues at work, oh, well, we have 27. I said, you weren't even born from the majority of them. So it was lovely. It was lovely. But a couple of things. One, I was going to bring that up, too, that I don't think with the way that he pitched the last part of the year, and then I have another comment, that Kimbrel's going to be with the Red Sox next year, because they've got to save money for too many daily players like Bogarts, like Betts, and, you know, right now, and maybe Sale next year, I just think that they're not going to have the money to try to keep Kimbrel. So this is the year they've got to do it, and he's got to, if he wants that still big contract, he's got to prove that he's hasn't lost his edge. And the last month or so, one of the worst stats last night was that he got a save. Well, he almost blew the save. And, like everybody's saying, if that was Houston, that would have been possibly a game that they would have come back to Fenway. So, I'm not going to give up on him because he's been too good of a relief pitcher and one of the best in history.
Yep.
But for some reason, the last month or two, since the All-Star game.
Yeah, it's been about 2 months now, Steve.
Yeah, and so it's just they've got to do something. And if anybody can find a way to get him going, I think it's going to be Cora. But the other thing, David Price, I think you've got to pitch him at Fenway. I think you've got to pitch him. I don't know if I would trust him on the road. I don't know if I trust him at Fenway.
see the problem there, Steve?
Oh, yeah. But he's making too much money. He's supposed to be your number two. You've got to show a little confidence in him. I think Cora is right in showing confidence because he is. I agree with you. He's going to be needed. If the Red Sox are going to go past the Astros, who have a solid, oh, boy, do they have a solid starting staff with Verlander and Cole. What a great pickup Cole was for them.
Yep.
And the others. Charlie Morton.
They've got a really good staff. I mean, Verlander's a great guy to be the ace, but then they've got, you know, three, four other guys that are very capable major league pitchers.
Well, the thing that I look at what they did, and everybody was knocking on Dombrowski. They got a pitcher that was traded twice during the year, and it would have been nice to have him. His ERA since he got the Astros was like around 170 or something like that. Ryan Pressly. And how would he look in the Red Sox bullpen right now as an eighth inning? I mean, it makes me think of Addison Reed when Dombrowski went and got him. I mean, it's still, without Sale last night, who do you bring in and who do you trust?
Well, that's a problem, right? And that's a big problem. See, listen, I'm up against it. I appreciate the phone call. And you brought up Kimbrel. And, you know, before we get out of here, I do want to say Kimbrel's a free agent, right? And there were stories and there was talk a little bit earlier in the season about his value coming up in the offseason and really what's going to be able to what he's going to be able to earn and where the Red Sox stand. Because you're right, the Red Sox have got major financial decisions to make, and you know they're not in a position where they can afford to screw up another one of these big contracts. You know, you've already got to deal with the David Price situation, and there are stories out there, there's people in the know that believe that Craig Kimbrel is going to be the first $100 million sort of relief pitcher, closer in Major League Baseball. You saw Wade Davis, he got 3 years, $52 million. Aronis Chapman, he got 5 years, I'm going to say just under 90. I think it was 86, 87. You know, you've got other guys coming coming due this year. Andrew Miller is going to make a lot of money as a free agent. Zach Britton's a free agent. Kelvin Herrera is a free agent. You know, so there's going to be some competition for these guys. But I'm telling you, there is a possibility that Kimbrel, especially if he performs and performs well in the ALCS and maybe even in the World Series, that he's going to earn himself close to $100 million. And he is going to price himself out of the Boston Red Sox reach. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports, flip this thing over, talk some Celtics, talk some NBA, and then the remainder of the program, you guys can talk about whatever the hell you want. It is Sports Radio WEI.
Patrick Gilroy rocks Late Night now on Sports Radio WEI.
My back is feeling better. Some days off, some treatment helped it. I have found out that it's going to be a process because of not playing for so long. Like, just the rest of my body's got to readjust to playing again. So it's very frustrating, but it's definitely better right now.
Celtic star Gordon Hayward right there. Not talking about the ankle, not talking about the foot. We're talking about his back, and the back is ultimately what kept him out of the Celtics' fourth and final exhibition game in Cleveland last weekend. But the good news here is that Gordon Hayward is expected to be ready for Game 1 coming up next Tuesday at the Garden against the Philadelphia 76ers. Here to talk to me about all of that and oh so much more about your Boston Celtics from Barstool Sports, Dan Greenberg, Mr. Full-Time. Congratulations, Dan.
Oh, appreciate it, Patrick. Thank you.
I got to ask you, man. So for years, I've been reading you on Barstool. I love your stuff. You know that. But how the hell weren't you full-time before? There are days where you put up like 3, 4, 5 blogs in the heat of the NBA season. How is that not full-time?
You know, everybody, what I love about Barstool is everybody has to earn their way up there. And, you know, it took a little while, but you know, Dave and everybody was gracious enough to finally give me a life, and I couldn't be more thankful.
Are you in New York? Or did you move?
No, I'm still remote, so at least I don't have to move to that trash city.
So wait a minute. You get to be full-time with Barstool, but you get to stay here. That's incredible. It's like the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it's just me and my monster, Walter. We just, you know, we grind it out, and then we watch the Celts at night. It's a pretty sweet gig, I can't lie.
It's Sports Radio WEI. It's Late Night. On the phone with me right now from Barstool Sports, Dan Greenberg. You guys can find him on Twitter at @StoolGreeny. And Dan, you know, we've been talking so much Red Sox here, and with good reason. I had to just break it up a little bit. I'll get back to the Red Sox later. But right now, you know, I've still got Celtics on the mind, and look, the Celtics, they struggled in that preseason. There's no getting around it. You and I, we drink the Kool-Aid. We're green teamers. But it's hard to put a positive spin on what we saw throughout those four games.
Yeah, but let me allow me to try to do it for you. So sometimes the basketball was horrible. And I think everybody that watched them play, you can't come away thinking anything else, right? Like how we hyped them up over the summer. Everybody was healthy and back. And they looked like a collective group of guys that have never played the sport in their lives. So the only positive I can think of is this is just a classic Belichick opportunity. Brad now has had, what, almost over a week since their last game to pump it into these guys. They're not as good as they think they are. They're, you know, they play like this on Tuesday. They're going to get blown out at home by their, you know, quote-unquote rival. So for me, like, this is – last year was great because they went undefeated. It was the first time we saw them play together, and we didn't know what to expect. This time around, if it would have been great to go 4-0, but if they didn't, at least now that they have given Brad material to, like, slap them in the face, get them focused, have a good week of practice and be ready to go.
I mean, what do you consider, though, when you look at Kyrie Irving, you look at Gordon Hayward? Kyrie had moments where he looked awesome in the preseason. Also, you know, he missed some time because it is preseason, so it's hard to judge Kyrie. But I will say this, I feel very comfortable with the health of Kyrie's knee. He looked like Kyrie Irving in spurts while he was out there. That's all I wanted to see. And with Gordon Hayward, I'll tell you what, the one time I felt good about Gordon, the one thing that I really take away from the entire preseason schedule is that one play where he chased down who the hell was it that he chased down and blocked the shot?
The one from behind.
Exactly. Yeah, so he ran the length of the floor, got up, blocked the shot, and that showed me that the athleticism is still there. His ability to get up and down the floor and get up high is still there. While everything else, you know, isn't quite there yet, at least it's not a question of will he be able to get his athleticism back.
Right, and I'm with you with both of those guys, right? Like, we know Kyrie can play. His was, I just wanted to see, did he still have that lateral quickness? Was he still, you know, had that good first step? I think we saw enough from him to say, okay, he's good. For Gordon, I never even remotely cared, you know, not even in the slightest, about what he looked like as a basketball player. I just wanted to see, does he trust his ankle? Is he willing to, you know, put it on the line in a situation where, you know, it's going to have to show that he can fall, recover, and get back up? And he wasn't hesitant, which is the biggest mental hurdle that he's going to face. So, you know, like you said, once he blocked that dude from behind, landed on his left leg, fell to the ground, and immediately popped up, I didn't care at all that he only shot like 1 for 7 or whatever. The basketball stuff, that'll come. For me, I just needed to see that he trusted his ankle, and the more that he plays, I think we'll see the basketball side start to look like the Hayward we expect.
There's been a lot of comparisons to the 2008 Celtics title team. I've never bought into that. That team, you know, they were all still in their prime, the big three, but they could see their own basketball mortality because they were north of 30. It's the perfect marriage for, you know, this short, successful 3-4-5 year burst. That's what you got from those guys, and they hit it from jump from game one. They were the best team in the NBA in 2008. This team, I know the comparisons are there, Dan, and ultimately I think that they'll have the opportunity to be in the same place the 08 team was at the conclusion of the season, and that's in the NBA Finals. But I don't expect the first couple of months to go nearly as smoothly and as swimmingly as that 08 team did.
Yeah, and I can see why people would want to make that comparison, but there's one glaring difference to me when I think of those two teams, right? Like that 2008 team was used to being a target. Every single player on that big three was used to being the guy and an all-star and a superstar in the league. This is the first time this Celtics group really has that shift in expectations where now they are the target. Now they are the favorite. You know, we don't know how a Jaylen Brown, a Jason Tatum are going to respond when guys are trying that much harder to beat them. Like, you don't want to say they're going to get the Warriors treatment where every team, you know, this is their Super Bowl, but it's going to be pretty close because of how hyped up the Celtics are. So, you know, we need to see how Brad responds to, you know, this different expectation of they're not a scrappy underdog team that, you know, hey, no one believed in them and they won 50 games. Isn't this great? Now it's, you need to win, you know, in the high 50s, be the number one seed and make the finals, or everything else is a disappointment. So, you know, I'm not as confident that they're going to hit the ground running and have like a 25-3 start, you know, and I know last year's 16-game winning streak can kind of, you know, deceive you there, but it's going to be a different animal this year because teams are going to be gunning for them, and you have to hope they know how to respond.
Yeah, teams are going to be gunning for them, but again, to me, so much of it's about, you know, reintegrating in two guys that were played zero part in that extended postseason run. You know, you look at last year's team and you talk about the growth and development of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier. That was your three-headed monster with Al Horford sort of anchoring the whole thing that got them from Kyrie's March injury all the way into June, right? And now you're reintegrating two guys in that are legit NBA all-stars in Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. And that's a complete change in the team's dynamic. Guys that were playing 25 minutes a night aren't going to be playing 25 5 minutes a night anymore. Terry Rozier is saying all the right things right now, and God bless him. I give him all the credit in the world for taking this and taking it in such a classy way. But he knows that he's not playing 30, 35 minutes a night this year, barring health. You look at a guy like Marcus Morris, and you look at what he's done. You know, last year, he was playing 25 minutes consistently. He's not going to see that this year, again, assuming everybody stays healthy. So these guys that were contributing players on a team that was minutes away from going to the NBA Finals, their roles are going to be drastically cut back and changed this year. So for me, you know, as much as it is about other teams gunning for the Celtics, for me it's about, you know, team building here and getting these guys comfortable with playing with one another. There are going to be lineups out there that have only shared, you know, 5 regular season minutes together that can't possibly come together in a matter of 4 preseason games.
No, and I could be a little crazy in my line of thinking, but I tend to think, you know, in these new lineup combinations, when you're inserting all-star level talent, this is still the NBA. Talent still ultimately wins out. So it may not be pretty. They may not have that, you know, typical Celtics erotic style of play that we all know and love, but at the end of the day, you know, Hayward can go get a bucket for himself. Kyrie can get a bucket for himself. So I think it'll be interesting to see how Brad manages the rotations, but we're not talking about like, oh, they have to integrate this overpaid fringe, you know, starting caliber player. We're adding fringe all NBA talent caliber players. So for me, it's like, sure, Tatum may get 2 or 3 less shots, you know, less on a particular game, but those shots are going to guys who I want shooting the ball. So for me, I think it's just, we have to just not pay attention to the shot attempts every night. It's going to change on a night-to-night basis. There's going to be games where Kyrie leads them in shots, and then the next night it's Hayward. It'll never be Al Horford, unfortunately. That's just a whole other argument. But, you know, I just think they have to understand that they have a bigger picture. The goal is to win a title. If they do that riding Marcus Morris one night and Marcus Smart the next, like, that's the benefit of their depth, and that'll prepare them for the playoff push.
The other big story of the last couple of weeks here throughout the Celtics training camp and through their preseason schedule has been this development that Kyrie Irving is this a different guy than I thought he was. You know, he was always one of those guys that I felt tried to sound a little bit smarter than he really was and tried to outsmart people in interview situations. He has sounded so down to earth and so legit and really making so much sense in every interview that he's given, so much more at peace, so much happier, so much more comfortable in Boston. Was it a surprise to you that he came out and said, you know what, if you guys will have me, I'm sticking around here for the long term?
I don't know if it was a surprise. I mean, I was certainly hopeful from it. I think the second they traded from him, I've been losing sleep over the fact that he could potentially leave for the last, like, year and a half. So it was nice to hear. I think now he absolutely has to come through. I think, you know, the Sixers fans of the world or the pessimists will want to say the way that he phrased it left him an out if things go bad. But I think he understands and sees the blueprint and the future of what's in store. And, you know, sure, he can't make any more money than he can if he stays. And he is playing with a group of guys who he believes in and feels like has the talent to get them to the top of the mountain. So it was one of those things where I certainly didn't expect it, just because in the NBA, whoever announces this before they absolutely have to. But I think the fact that he did it, eliminating that distraction for the whole season is going to be really important. That's why I'm, like, still holding out hope we hear a Terry Rozier extension of some sort so that we don't have to ask him all year about his contract. But I just, everything that we can do to prepare ourselves mentally for the season, I'm a fan of, and this was a big part.
You sort of just hit on the last point that I wanted to make. There's been reports the last 48 hours that the Celtics have engaged Terry Rozier in contract negotiations, contract extension negotiations. There's no doubt in my mind that Terry Rozier is a starting caliber backcourt guy, whether you want to call him a point guard or a shooting guard or a hybrid, it doesn't really matter. He is a starting caliber NBA player. He's somebody that, coming off of what he did last season, he's primed to make himself a good amount of money if he goes out into free agency. What's in it for Terry Rozier to stick around here for the long term?
Well, I mean, I saw those reports, and we don't know really what that could just be. Ainge calling him up and being like, hey, Terry, do you want to sign a team-friendly deal? And Terry being like, Danny, what are you talking about? I'm hitting restricted free agency. That quote-unquote is discussing an extension, but I just think it's going to be a trade-off of, does he value, is his earning potential better to be on a winning team that's on TV all the time, that makes, you know, big playoff pushes, that he has, you know, the biggest stage to perform on, or, you know, because it's hard to ask somebody to give up millions and millions of dollars because he's earned the right to be a starting guard in this league. So maybe he signs an extension with the idea that Ainge promises he'll trade him halfway through it for a starting, you know, a starting role on another team. I mean, who knows? But for me, I just say it's worth, pay the luxury tax, Wick. You know, we'll buy more hot dogs. We'll buy more beers. Like, who cares? Find a way to make it happen and keep them together because this team has so much talent. I'm not ready to say goodbye.
All right, 10 seconds or less. What the hell is up with LeBron James and his decision to wear the short shorts this year?
Not only that, first of all, I can't even, don't even get me started on LeBron and Lakers, but did you see, have you guys seen that they did, he and Rondo did the KG Rondo opening tip ritual where they, you know, football hike it?
Oh, I saw it. I was sick. I was sickened.
Oh, my gosh. I can't. It's like, it's giving me up a wall this whole night. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm so mad.
Well, you can stay up till 2 in the morning and listen to Late Night. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you staying up late and joining me. We'll talk to you as the Celtics, they start their regular season coming up next Tuesday. It's at home. It's at the Garden. It's against the Sixers. It's going to be electric. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be all those things. And I cannot wait for this season to start. It is Sports Radio. WEEI, it is Late Night. I am Patrick Gilroy. That was Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports. You guys find him on Twitter at StoolGreeny. When we come back, it's all on the table now. We spent the first hour and a half doing Red Sox, David Price, Craig Kimbrell. We can continue down that road. If you have thoughts on the NBA, thoughts on the Celtics and everything that's happening with them, contract extension for Kyrie Irving upcoming at the end of this season. Celtics talking extension right now with Terry Rozier. What the hell is up with LeBron James's short shorts? All that and so much more. 617-779-7937.
Talk all Boston sports with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Sports Radio WEEI. It's Late Night. Plenty of room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And again, a big thank you goes out to Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports, and a big congratulations as well, because after years of being part-time, you know, writing these incredible Celtics blogs and a must-read destination for Celtics fans, really cultivated and developed just this huge audience on Barstool. El Prez did the right thing, hired him full-time, he got to leave his cube job, and now he is truly living the dream, getting paid a full-time salary to write about the Celtics, write about the NBA, and he didn't have to move to New York, which is the best part of the whole deal. How Dan negotiated that is beyond me, but bravo, my hat's off to you, Dan, because you just potentially negotiated the best deal that's going to be signed in Boston this year. It's not going to be Terry Rozier. It's not going to be Kyrie's deal. You, Dan Greenberg, getting full-time salary, living in Boston, and doing it covering the Celtics. Well, well done, my friend. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. The good news here is we've spent about an hour and a half talking about the Red Sox, talking about Red Sox Yankees, Red Sox Astros. We're here for two more hours tonight. So when we come back here for the next 2 hours, we can continue down that road, continue that discussion. Look, my whole thing here is that you've got two guys that you're going to need critical, critical contributions from, right? David Price and Craig Kimbrell. And neither one of those guys are really operating at their best right now, so to speak. You know, Kimbrell, heart attack moment last night. And again, I cannot reiterate this enough. If that were the Houston Astros that Kimbrell pitched like that against, there is zero doubt in my mind that at a minimum, they tie the game up, they probably win the game. There is most likely a Game 5 upcoming tomorrow night at Fenway Park because the Astros are going to make you pay. Where the Yankees, they made him pay, but they are just flawed enough to let Kimbrell and the Red Sox off the hook. So when you look at David Price and you look at Craig Kimbrell and you look at these guys, you know that Alex Cora has already said that David Price is going to be his game number two starter at Fenway Park. These games are huge. You must take care of the home field. We know that. You know, last time David Price had an opportunity to do that, he choked. And it seems like with each start, with each postseason start, that weight on Price's shoulders gets that much heavier. It just does. And the likelihood of him overcoming and finally breaking through and giving you a solid start as a starting pitcher, I don't see it happening. But I feel better right now about David Price's ability to leave the game after, say, 5-6 innings, giving up 3 or 4 runs, 4 to 6 strikeouts, I'd take that. To me, that would be a successful playoff performance from David Price. So when you compare and contrast Kimbrel and Price, I'm sorry, Kimbrel's got to go out there and be nasty. He's got to be the closer. He's got to be so much better than he was at Yankee Stadium last night. He just does. In a series like this, where I expect it to go 6 or 7 games, in a series like this where both teams are very, very talented, and I think that talent is somewhat comparable, this most likely, or this should be, a very close series where the team with the smallest edge might wind up being the team that breaks through and ultimately achieves the goal of making it to the World Series. So you can't afford to have a repeat performance. Make no mistake about it. If you get similar performances from David Price and Craig Kimbrel in this Astros series, you're done. You are done. There is no World Series coming your way. You're not getting by the Astros if you get identical performances from Price and Kimbrel. And that's a fact. That's not even my opinion. That is a damn fact, all right? There's just no getting around it, because the Houston Astros will make you pay for all of your mistakes. They'll make you pay for all of your sins, where the Yankees, well, they'll make you pay sometimes, and other times, not so much. And that's why the Yankees are at home, and that's why the Astros, in a lot of circles right now, despite the fact that they won 5 fewer games than the Red Sox, the Astros are really favored, I think, in this series. They won 5 fewer games, and let's face it here, they're a team that you know, they're flawed too, but they're not nearly as flawed as the Yankees are. And you look at that win differential between the Yankees and the Astros, it's only a 3-game differential. Astros won 103, the Yankees won 100. You would think on paper that those two teams are very, very comparable, but they're really not. The Yankees are a team where they're waiting for the big hit. The Yankees are waiting for Giancarlo Stanton to do his thing. They're waiting for Judge to do his thing. You know, the Red Sox and the Astros, while they've got the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark, while the Red Sox and the Astros have the ability to, you know, put up big numbers, score a big amount of runs, they do it in a different way. They can do it multiple ways. And this is where the Red Sox and the Astros are similar, in my opinion, at least offensively. Both of these teams know how to manufacture runs. Both of these teams are very, very good at keeping the ball in the ballpark and still putting up big numbers. But they both have the capability, both have the potential, both have the bats in the lineup to play long ball as well. And that's what makes these teams so dangerous. And it's that combination that allowed the Red Sox the ability to explode for 16 runs. And again, I go back to that 16-run performance, and while that number was an impressive number, I mean, just a huge number, right? It's only a number. What I loved about that game, and I said this that night, it was here doing late night, what I loved about that game was the Red Sox approach. And I think that all of that comes from Cora. That team was aggressive from moment one in that game, but they were the perfect combination of aggressive yet reserved, and those two seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. Their plate discipline was awesome. All right, they earned 8 walks in that game. So in other words, they got up to the plate with just enough aggression, but they were just disciplined enough too to take advantage of the Yankees' mistakes. But once they made it to first base, once they were on the base path, what'd they do? They were super aggressive. They had a couple of steals in that game. There was always a threat for another steal. And I love that about this team. And I love the fact that when you're up 10-1, Benintendi's still out there looking to steal bases. And I love the fact that when you're up 10-1, Benintendi's still setting the tone. You know, he's swinging away. I love that about this team. And I don't care about the national opinion about this Red Sox team and, you know, the unwritten rules of baseball and how they should behave and how they shouldn't behave. Because this is the team with a larger goal than just beating the Yankees. And you cannot get away from who you are just to appease a national audience or just to appease Ron Darling. You can't do it. This team has been sort of mimicked after Alex Cora. They've taken on his personality. Cora was a guy that put in work as a player. Never the most talented guy, but always squeezed the most ability out of the talent that he had. And I feel like this team has taken on that sort of identity. And yes, they're a team that, look at their payroll. It is the highest payroll in baseball. Right? And usually when you've got teams with that sort of payroll, they don't want to do that work. They don't want to be a dirt dog type of team, for lack of a better way to put it. But this Red Sox team, they are. They are a dirt dog type of team. They're a team that I think would make 2004 and 2007 Red Sox teams proud in that way. where, yeah, you've got the sexy stars. You do have, you know, you've got J.D. Martinez. You've got Mookie Betts, even Xander Bogaerts to a certain extent. You've got Craig Kimbrell. These guys are legit stars. Chris Sale, David Price should be. You know, he should be considered one of these legit stars. He's certainly paid like one, but he's not one at the moment. But you've got legit baseball talent, legit all-stars, guys that at one point or another were considered or are considered one of the very best at their position, right? That's what you have between J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, two guys that are going back and forth, neck and neck, all season long for the MVP, right? That's what you have in those two guys. Two guys in David Price and Chris Sale that really should be two aces of any rotation. Again, David Price, not so much, but they should be. And, of course, Kimbrell, who's been one of the best closers, if not the best closer in baseball. When your team loaded up with that kind of stars, with that kind of star power, you generally aren't defined by your willingness to outwork your opponent. You generally aren't defined by your willingness to be a dirt dog type of team. But that's what this team has become, and that's the identity that they've formed for themselves. And I think that's what was missing from the John Farrell-led teams over the last couple of years. While they still had tremendous talent on those teams, they weren't willing to go out there and do the little things. They weren't willing to go out there, and they weren't disciplined enough at the plate to earn 8 walks in a game. And when they got on the base paths, they didn't even know how to begin to be aggressive like this Red Sox team showed that they could be in New York. So I look at those things, you know, you guys on the text line, again, about me being negative, there are lots of positives that we can get to in the final 2 hours of the program. There were far more positives than negatives that came out of this Red Sox series with the Yankees.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.